given us this chance to be able to stand and open up His Word. I ask that you pray for us, and we'd be able to maybe say something, be a help to you. Certainly, we don't want to do anything, say anything that would hurt anybody. Just want to try my best to share with you what's on my heart. Second Chronicles, chapter number 12. Second Chronicles, chapter number 12. And we're going to read the first 12 verses and try to really interested in one verse, one thought from that verse. I want to maybe try to share something with you that the Lord kind of pointed out to me in our daily reading as a family a couple of nights ago. And just kind of been stuck with my mind since then. So that's 2 Chronicles chapter number 12. And we'll read verses 1 through verse 12. And it came to pass, when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. And it came to pass that in the fifth year of King Rehoboam, Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem because they had transgressed against the Lord, with 1,200 chariots and 70,000 horsemen. And the people were without number that came with him out of Egypt, the Lubims, the Sukims, and the Ethiopians. And he took the fenced cities which pertained to Judah and came to Jerusalem. And then came Shemaiah the prophet to Rehoboam and to the princes of Judah that were gathered together to Jerusalem because of Shishak, and said unto them, Thus saith the Lord, Ye have forsaken me, and therefore have I also left you in the hand of Shishak. Whereupon the princes of Israel and the king humbled themselves, and they said, The Lord is righteous. And when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, saying, They have humbled themselves, therefore I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance, and my wrath shall not be poured out upon Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak. Nevertheless, they shall be his servants, that they may know my service, and the service of the kingdoms of the countries. So Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem, and took away the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king's house. He took all. He carried away also the shields of gold which Solomon had made, instead of which King Rehoboam made shields of brass and committed them to the hands of the chief of the guard that kept the entrance of the king's house. And when the king entered into the house of the Lord, the guard came and fetched them and brought them again into the guard chamber. And when he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him, that he would not destroy him altogether, and also in Judah things went well. Father, thank you for the privilege, Lord, just to be able to pray, and thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to open up your word. And I just pray that for a little bit, Lord, you would guide my thoughts, and Lord, you would guard my words. Help me to say what you want said, nothing more, nothing less. And Father, that you would speak to me, and you would help me, Lord, just to be able, God, to speak to your people and to those that are listening this morning, Father, from your precious word. Lord, let it be your words and not mine. Let it be, Father, your spirit and not my flesh. God, let it be what you want it to be, and let it be to the glorifying of your high and holy name. Father, I confess openly before you and before those that are listening, I can't do a thing without you. If anything's going to be done, it'll have to be you, Lord, that does it. So I pray, Father, you get me out of the way, and Lord, you would accomplish your perfect will and way through the means of this time. I pray for Brother Joe as he'll come in just a little bit. I pray that you would remove those physical hindrances. And Lord, you would remove anything, God, that would hinder his thoughts and his mind. And let him be able to preach in power and in demonstration of the Spirit of God. Lord, touch upon his throat, touch upon his lungs. Give him, Lord, the help and the physical healing that he needs to be able to stand and proclaim the word of truth. Father, we ask these things if it be your will. And we'll give you glory for it all. So in Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen. So we're looking at a time in the history of the nation of Israel and Judah. This is King Rehoboam's reign. This is when he has brought, he is over the nation of Judah. Because of him and because of his decisions, the nation has been split into the tribes of Judah and Benjamin and the other 10 tribes of Israel. It is a divided kingdom. The Bible says that it was of the Lord because of the prophecy that he had spoken unto
King Solomon. Because of Solomon turning away from the ways of God. And now here is Rehoboam, and he has established his kingdom, and he has been strengthened in himself. In verse number 1, he thought to go against the nation of Israel. He thought to try to bring them back under his reign, and God told him, no, you're not going to do that. And so Rehoboam has decided to establish his kingdom now in Judah and to strengthen himself in that kingdom. But the Bible says in verse number 1 that once he had done that, it came to pass when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. Then the Bible says, and it came to pass that in the fifth year of King Rehoboam, Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem because they had transgressed against the Lord. Because Rehoboam has decided to forsake the law of the Lord. Because Rehoboam has decided that he is no longer going to follow the commandments of the God of Israel, because he has decided that he is going to go his own way. He has established his kingdom. He has strengthened himself. And so he has decided that he does not need the law of the Lord. He does not need to follow the commandments of God. He does not need to stay with the God that has established him in this kingdom. He does not need to stay with the God of Israel. And so because he has forsaken the law of the Lord, he has decided he knows better. He has decided that he is able himself to strengthen himself because he has decided that he does not need God. The Bible says that because of that transgression, the Lord brought up against him Shishak, king of Egypt. And he has Egypt, the nation of Egypt, the armies of Egypt have come, and it says people without number that have came out of Egypt, and they have brought with them the Lubims and the Sukims and the Ethiopians, and they have taken these cities which pertain to Judah, and now they're coming to take the capital, and they're coming to take the city of Jerusalem, the place where God has said, in that place I will put my name forever, the place where that God has instructed Solomon to build the temple, the presence of God would remain there in Jerusalem. But because that they have forsaken the Lord, because that they have forsaken the Lord of the word of the Lord and the law of the Lord, because they have forsaken that, now this nation has come against Jerusalem. The Bible says that God sends a prophet, and he says, thus saith the Lord, ye have forsaken me, and therefore have I also left you in the hand of Shishak. Whereupon the princes of Israel and the king humbled themselves, and they said, the Lord is righteous. God has said, because you've forsaken me, I've left you into the hand of the enemy. Now we know, you Bible readers, if you've read your Bible from beginning into the book of Genesis, by the time you get to 2 Chronicles, you recognize this enemy that is coming against Judah. This enemy is not a stranger. These people are no strangers to the Israelites. These enemies are no strangers to these men in Judah. These are their familiar foes. This is the world, if you'll let me say it like that. that Egypt represents the world. God has brought them out with a high hand from being in bondage to the Egyptians. God has brought them through the wilderness. God brought them out of Egypt through blood and through water. He has brought them out by a mighty power, and He has executed judgment not only on the Egyptians, but He has executed judgment upon the gods of the Egyptians, so that the people may know that their God is the only God. Their God is the true God. He brought them out of Egypt, and then He took them across the Red Sea and eliminated the enemy as they were trying to come up and bring them back under bondage. God has brought them out of this place called Egypt and out from under the hand of the king of Egypt. But now, because of their transgressions, now Egypt has come back after them. And let me just say this morning, I'm trying to draw some spiritual conclusions, and we'll get to the thought in just a minute. But what I want you to recognize is that when we have been brought out of sin, and we have been brought out of our old life, and we have been delivered from that old enemy and that old king, that old ruler, when we have been delivered by the grace of God, by the blood of Jesus Christ and the water of the Word of God, I'm thankful that God is still delivering people out of bondage. He's still delivering people out of Egypt. He's still bringing folks that don't want to be bound any longer, that don't want to have to suffer the consequences and effects of sin any longer. I'm glad God is still able to bring deliverance. And so these people that God has brought out, now they've forsaken the God who brought them out, and now Egypt comes calling. And if we aren't careful, when we decide that we no longer have to follow the laws of the Lord, when we decide we no longer have to stick to the Word of God, when we decide we no longer need the church house, when we decide we no longer need a meddling preacher, when we decide we no longer need people in our business asking us why we weren't at church last Sunday, when we decide that we don't need the fellowship of believers, when we decide we don't need to have our family under the preaching of the Word of God, when we decide that we don't need those things any longer. I'm telling you, friend, when you forsake the Lord, you are finding yourself where Egypt will come calling again. The old life will come after you again. The old snares and the old temptations will come again, and they will find you in a place where the Lord says, because you've forsaken me, I'm going to leave you with what you've got coming. I'm going to leave you with the consequences. I'm going to leave you with what you decided you wanted more. I'm going to leave you with the enemy that you decided was better than following after me. And so God says, thus saith the Lord, you have forsaken me. Therefore have I also left you in the hand of Shishak. Verse number 6, whereupon the princes of Israel and the king humbled themselves. And they said, the Lord is righteous. Now that's a very wise thing of them to do. It was pride, because they had established a kingdom. It was pride because Rehoboam had strengthened himself. It was pride that caused them to fall. And I'll tell you this morning, friend, it's pride that will cause you and I to fall. Pride goeth before destruction, and the Holy Spirit before a fall. When we feel like we've got it handled, and we feel like that we know better now, and that when we feel like we've been enlightened, and I'm not going to go down a lot of roads this morning, but I do recognize the time in our culture that we're living in, even in the Bible Belt where we're living right now, where folks have decided that they have grown, they have learned, they know better now than to get under the preaching of a hack and spitting man of God. they know better now than to follow any kind of standards. They know better now. And I recognize and I understand this morning that there are traditions of men and there are standards of men. I recognize that this morning, but I'm telling you, there's some things that you ought not forsake. There are some things that you ought not let slip. There are some things that you ought not let go. And this morning, I'm telling you, when you decide that you know better and you decide that you've got it figured out and you decide you don't need that old time way no more, you don't need that stuff no more, that there's a new and a better and an easier way. There's a way where you can have a little more freedom. There's a way when you can have a little more liberty. There's a way that you can have it your way. I'm telling you, friend, when you find that way, you are headed for a fall. And some of you may have turned me off already. That's all right. But he said, because you've forsaken me, I've also left you. And the Bible says that they humbled themselves. And they said, the Lord is righteous. In other words, they said this: God knows what he's doing. Delivering us into the hand of our enemies, if that's what God has decided needs to be done, God is righteous. He knows what he's doing. He knows what's best. And whatever he decides, that's what's best. If he decides to bring judgment upon us, the Lord is righteous. In other words, they're not clinging to their own self-righteousness anymore. They're not clinging to their own pride anymore. They've humbled themselves and they've submitted themselves to the will of God. And because of that, verse number 7, when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah saying, they have humbled themselves, therefore I will not destroy them. But I will grant them some deliverance, and my wrath shall not be poured out upon Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak. He says, because they've humbled themselves, I'm not going to utterly destroy them. I'm not going to totally wipe them out. I'm not going to take them out. The wrath of God will not fall upon Jerusalem by the hand of the king of Egypt. He says, I will grant them some deliverance. And thank God that he's merciful enough to grant some deliverance. I'm thankful this morning that he is willing, he is able, he is merciful and he's gracious. He's slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. I'm thankful this morning that he is a forgiving God and that he will forgive our sins. I'm glad this morning the Bible says that I write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and he's just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. I'm glad there's mercy with the Lord. I'm glad, thank God, it is by the mercies of God that we are not consumed, for they are new every morning. Thank God he is good and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. This morning he's ready to forgive. I bless his name. Thank God that he is forgiving and he is merciful to people like me, low-down sinners like me. He's ready to forgive when we humble ourselves and submit to his will. And I think about King David and his sin with Bathsheba. God forgave him. Nathan came to him and said, you are the man. David humbled himself, cried out for mercy, and Nathan said, you will not die. God has forgiven you. It's kind of like what he says right here to Rehoboam. Nevertheless, verse number 8, they shall be his servants, that they may know my service and the service of the kingdoms of the countries. And that's where I really want to park for just a few more minutes. Brother Joe's got called out. I don't know if he'll get to be back in time to preach his message. So I'll finish up and then we'll turn it back to the announcer if he's not. But he says in verse number 8, he says, nevertheless, they shall be his servants, that they may know my service and the service of the kingdoms of the countries. He says, I'm not gonna destroy them. I'm going to grant them some deliverance, and my wrath will not be poured out But they're still going to be servants to the king of Egypt. And that's what I want you to look. I want you to notice this morning what God says right here. I've read this many times, and it never stuck out to me until this past week. He says, "Nevertheless, they shall be His servants, that they may know My service, and the service of the kingdoms of the countries." God says, "I'm going to allow them to go into servitude. They're not going to be brought out. They're not going to be taken away. They're not going to be exiled. They're not going to be wiped out. But what I want them to see is that they're going to have to serve this king of Egypt so that they may know the difference between serving Me and serving Egypt. So that they may know the difference between serving Me and serving the kings of these other countries. Because after all, that's what Rehoboam really had a problem with to start with, was he did not like the law of the Lord. He did not like those regulations. He did not like those standards. He did not like those restrictions. And so he decided he was going to be free. He was going to have liberty. He was going to forsake those restrictions. Those old-fashioned standards, those things that held him back, he was going to forsake that law, and he was going to have freedom. And God says, "No, you're not going to have freedom. You're going to recognize that you will serve somebody." And that's the truth this morning. That you will serve somebody, or you will serve something. That you will serve. You will be in bondage. You will be in servitude to someone or something. And when you, as a child of God, decide that you don't want to follow the law of the Lord anymore, you don't want to follow that word of God anymore. You want to reinterpret it some easier way. Then what you're going to find is not freedom, but you're going to find service to another master. One commentator said this: "To depart from God is not to throw off the yoke, but to exchange a light yoke for a heavy one, and one gracious master for 1,000 imperious tyrants and lords." See, the freedom that you think you're getting by getting out from under God's house and out from under God's man and away from God's people that holds you accountable, the freedom that you think you're gaining, it will turn into servitude to another master. It will turn into service to another Lord. It will turn into bondage to something else. You will serve something. You will serve either the Lord, or you will serve the flesh, you will serve the world, you will serve the devil. You will serve something or someone. And God says, "I'm going to leave them in servitude to the king of Egypt that they may know My service and the service of the kingdoms of the countries." Notice what it says in verse number 9. So Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem and took away the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king's house he took all. He carried away also the shields of gold which Solomon had made. What Rehoboam and the people of Judah recognize first of all about this new master is that he does not give, he takes. He does not provide, he pilfers. He does not give you blessings, he takes away your possessions. And that's the way this king of Egypt was. That was what servitude to him meant. It was not service to the Lord who had provided them all of these things. It was not service to the Lord who had allowed them to spoil the Egyptians. Now it's service to a king that says, "I'll take that, and I'll take that, and I'll take that. That's mine. That's coming home with me." And I'm telling you, friend, this morning, when you leave the law of the Lord, when you leave and forsake the service of God, you will find that the master that you find yourself serving is not good and gracious. He's not going to provide for you. He's not going to give to you. But instead, he's going to require of you. He's going to take from you. He's going to take that which you have and make it his own. That's what Rehoboam found out. He took away the treasures of the house of the Lord. He took away those special things that were found in God's house. You know what will happen when you decide to forsake the law of the Lord? You know what will happen when you decide that you don't need that old way anymore and you find yourself in bondage to another king? Those precious things, those special things about the house of God. Hallelujah. Walking through the doors and feeling the presence of the Spirit of God. Coming in and shaking hands. And thank God with the right hand of fellowship. With blood-bought, redeemed children of God. Just like yourself. And having fellowship and communion. And the Spirit flowing from breast to breast. And the Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And listening to the songs of Zion. And hearing from the Word of God. And gaining hope and gaining strength from that precious word. Those precious things, those special things, those treasures that you had in the house of God, the enemy will come and take those all away. Took away the treasures of the house of the Lord. Oh, help us, Lord. And the treasures of the king's house, he took all. What Rehoboam found out was not only did it take away the treasures that were in the house of God, Rehoboam found out it took away the treasures that were at his house. And I've seen folks come and go. I've seen them come and get on fire and get under the spout of the Word of God and grow and enjoy the blessings of God and seeing their family cohesive and brought together. But then I've seen them decide that those things were just too harsh, just too much. Three services a week, preacher. Tithes and offerings, preacher. It's just too much. Folks calling me, asking me if everything's all right because I missed Sunday night service. And decided to go somewhere where it was a little easier, where they could blend in with the crowd. Hey, none of this is in my notes. I'm just trying to speak to you from my heart this morning. Somewhere we can blend in with the crowd and nobody will be asking me to take an office. Nobody will be asking me to do a devotion. Nobody will be asking me to teach a Sunday school class. Nobody will be asking me to serve. We'll just slip away somewhere where there's a little more entertainment. And it's a little bit easier way. And I've seen those families that have gone that way. And I've seen what was most precious in that household be taken by the enemy. Before you know it, those little ones, they're not going anywhere. They're not interested in any spiritual matters. Oh, God help us. Took away the treasures of the house of the Lord. Took away the treasures of the king's house. He took all. And this master, This Lord, this one that you are going to be bound to will not be satisfied with just a little here and a little there, but he will take and take and take until he takes all. They shall be his servants that they may know my service. In the service of the kingdoms of the countries. He took all. He carried away also the shields of gold which Solomon had made, instead of which King Rehoboam made shields of brass. and committed them to the hands of the chief of the guard that kept the entrance of the king's house. The king of Egypt, Solomon had made shields of gold. Solomon had made shields that were of extreme value and of extreme strength and preciousness. And they had the shields of gold. But the king of Egypt took those away, and the best Rehoboam could do was try to replicate it with brass. Rehoboam's best work was just simply to make them of brass. Nevertheless, they shall be his servants, that they may know my service and the service of the kingdoms of the countries. Again, this morning, you're going to serve somebody. We are going to serve something. And I'm just trying to warn you, friend, this morning, if you've not left that way, if you've not gone, if you've not left the place where God has you right now, if you've not, I'm just trying to give you a warning this morning. It's a preventative, the Word of God is a preventative medicine. It is a warning to our souls. And here this morning, the warning is, do not despise the service of God. Do not despise the service of the Lord. Do not despise what God where God has you and what God's got you doing this morning. Because if you despise it and you forsake it, I'm telling you, friend, you will find yourself leaving a good master and find yourself bound to a master that does not care about you. Does not care about your home. Does not care about your family. If you despise the good master. This morning the Bible says that his commandments are not grievous. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy, for I am meek and lowly, and you will find rest unto your soul. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You can leave that old hard bolt, that hard yoke of bondage. You can leave that old hard yoke of sin. You can leave that bondage to sin and self, and you can find rest in the yoke of the Lord. You can find him a good and gracious master. You can find him, thank God, bearing up the yoke with you and bearing your burdens with you. A sinner friend, this morning, if you're bound in your sin, you can find freedom this morning in the yoke with the Lord Jesus Christ. His commandments are not grievous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. He hath shown thee, O man, and what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with the Lord thy God. He's given you an easy yoke. God says they're opposed to my service, so I'm going to remind them what it is to serve Egypt. And that's what happens, is after you've been out of Egypt for a little while, that happened all along in the wilderness, those people that had, these are generations removed from Egypt, many, many generations removed from Egypt, but the people that had known what it was to serve in bondage to Egypt, after they've been out of Egypt for a while, began to think that place better than where they were. And I don't know, friend, maybe you are walking through a wilderness. Maybe you are wandering in a valley this morning. But I'm telling you, walking in the way of the Lord is still better than serving in the bondage to Egypt. They shall be his servants that they may know my service and the service of the kingdoms of the countries. And let me say this, as God's people, the only way that we find ourselves in bondage is when we choose to join ourselves to it. Samson is a Samson is a perfect picture of this. When you read through the book of Judges, when you read through the account of Samson's life, what you'll find is Samson was bound about 4 or 5 times. But every time, Brother Cody, that Samson was bound, he was bound because he freely, voluntarily gave over his hands to be bound. He was never bound against his will. Samson was only bound when he voluntarily gave himself to bondage. And that's the way it is with us this morning as Christians. That's why Paul exhorted us in the book of Galatians to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. This morning, if you're saved, you don't have to. You don't have to be bound again. If you're lost, you don't have to stay bound. There's freedom in Christ. Verse number 12, and when he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him, that he would not destroy him altogether, and also in Judah things went well. If you found yourself bound this morning because of your own decisions and your own straying, humble yourself, and you'll find freedom again. You'll find forgiveness and you'll find restoration. There'll still be effects. There'll still be scars. There'll still be things, baggage that you bring back from that service. But I promise you this morning, bless His name, He is willing and able and ready to forgive if you'll come to Him this morning. Back to the announcer at this time.